I noticed in my preaching records for here that about, I think it was about 3 years ago for Sunday school, I did a little study for you on the inspiration of the Bible, and we talked about that a little bit, and I've got something today that I'd like to do with you that I just call the blessings of the Bible, the blessings that we get. In other words, if you read the Bible, I mean, somebody who's never read it might ask, well, why should I read it? What's it going to do for me? You know, why should I take time doing that? And I've discovered that there are some things in the Bible that tell me why that I ought to do it. And very frankly, as the years have gone along, I have become more and more convinced of what I've been convinced of pretty well the whole journey. And that is that everything really hinges around how that I handle the book and what I do with the book and how I believe, what I believe about the book. Brother Ross, you've been in the ministry a long time, have seen a lot of the things that come and go, and I'm so absolutely convinced that there are certain things that come to us if we do what we ought to do in relation to the Bible. So I want to talk to you about that this hour. Now, I want to read some from Psalm 119. Now, I said some from that chapter, because, as you know, it is the longest chapter in the Bible with 176 verses. But now, honestly, if I just read that to you this hour, I think you would be immensely blessed by just listening carefully to the reading of the great chapter. Now, if you find that, when you find it, hold your place for just a moment, and I want to introduce this by looking at two other little spots in the Psalms that will help us to get a handle for where we're going here. You find Psalm 119, and then I want you to look at Psalm 138. We're at a day now where, and is it okay if I just talk plainly to you? You do want me to do that, don't you? Okay, good. I was going to anyway, but I wanted to get you to okay it before I just blundered into it. But we're in a day now where that in much of the so-called Christian world, the Bible is not as big as it ought to be. In fact, in so much of the Christian world, the religious thing that they do that is big with them is something they call praise and worship. Now, let me acknowledge to you right up front, I'm in favor of praise, if it's done right. And I'm in favor of worship of the Lord, if it's done right. But I'm going to show you a verse here in Psalm 138 that says that neither praise nor worship is the big thing, the top thing. It's not at the top of the heap. Verse 2. He says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So as big a deal as God's name is, His word is even bigger in His way of looking at things. And the fact is, if you and I do not handle God's name according to His word, then we are messing up. And for us to, be out Saturday night till midnight or 1 o'clock, social drinking and dancing in a nightclub and, whatever else that people do. And then we go rushing to the praise center on Sunday morning, and we all stand up and do the same jiggling there that was done on the dance floor, but it's just the Christian words, and the music is the same driving, pulsating type of thing, and we all wave our hands and we use Christian words. And to say that is praise or that is worship, to me, is an absolute mockery of everything that is right and good and holy. And the reason that I believe that is because as I read through the Bible, I learn what this passage calls the truth and what this passage calls the Word of God. And so I learn things about how to function. To start with, I learned that about drinking, and I just learned that I shouldn't do any of that, socially or otherwise. I learned, too, that I probably, even in a public setting, shouldn't be have my arms around some other man's wife and be doing things that people do on the dance floor and stuff like that. I won't go into a lot of that, but you understand, I think there's a problem with that. In fact, a bunch of problems. And so we don't go there, we don't do that, and we don't do that even under a Christian umbrella. We just don't do it. And the reason we do not is because God has taught us some things in His Word about goodness and holiness and right, and we get all of that straight. Now, the Word of God is big. It's even bigger than praise and worship. All right? Now, one more little point of introduction. Back to chapter number 12 in the Psalms. Chapter number 12 and verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7 of chapter 12. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now understand what he's got here, what he's telling us. When he says the words of the Lord are pure words, I'm just looking for something to illustrate this. If I had a glass of water up here, I could illustrate it, and I'll just let you in. That's all right. I'll just imagine that. In fact, go ahead and get that glass of water, because I've got a little gravel, and it might help me to clear it out. The fact is, the glass of water that they're going to bring me, which you'll see in a minute, and I'm sure they're getting it from some nice source. There's probably a little creek running by here somewhere, and they're going to go out there and dip it out of the creek, but even if they get it out of the tap, or even if they get it from the place at the supermarket where they sell Aquafina or some of those types of things, I promise you, if you take that water and put it under the microscope, you would go, whoa! Just look at the glass that they bring it in. Look at it under a microscope. There would be so much on there, crawling, moving, etc., that you don't see with your naked eye. And if you saw it under the microscope, you would say, go wash it again, wash it again, wash it again, wash it again. Now, even though the water that they're going to bring me it's doable. And when they get it here, I will do some of it. But the fact is, it's not really pure water. It has some contaminants in it. But what the Lord says about His Word is that His words are pure words. So if He gives you something where He says there are three of these, this water helps that gravel to work, brother. Thank you very much. All right, well, look at it. There's stuff crawling around. No, anyway. All right. That does help me. Thank you, sir. But the fact is, the purity of the Word of God, if you look at it mathematically, any place the Bible says there are 3 days or 3 camels or 4 jackrabbits, I mean, whatever it says, mathematically, just take it to the bank. That's the right amount. Or if it addresses things geographically, if it says Jerusalem is here and Bethlehem is there and the Negev, the desert, is over here. I mean, if you find places in there where it tells you those things, go with me over there sometime. And you will find that where it says this is here and that is there, that's exactly the way it is. Sometimes it'll even tell you that they went like from Jericho up to Jerusalem. Ha ha. Yeah, about 1,000 feet elevation up. True. I mean, it's 40 miles or so, but it's constant incline going up to Jerusalem. You walk it, you'd know that it's up. I mean, you'd be a tired pup. It's not like walking downhill, it's walking uphill, and so on and so forth. So what I'm telling you is what the Bible gives us is right, it's true. Geographically, geologically, I mean just on and on, historically, all these other things, it's right and it's true. So the words of God are pure words, and so much so that he says here, it's like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified in a furnace of earth seven times. Now, if you go out to Nevada or Idaho or someplace where they have silver mines, some of those old mines, and if you dug out a nugget of silver, it would not be pure. It would have other elements in it. And they take the rough ore out of those mines, and they take it to a refinery. And they put it in the refinery, heat it in a furnace of fire to purge out the dross and to be able to separate the silver. Now what he says is, the words of God are, it's as though you went to the refinery once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times, and then they said, all right, do it one more time. Do it seven times. And he said, that is how true and accurate and precise the words of the Lord are. So what he says here is, then thou shalt keep them, verse 7, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So what we have are pure words, and they are preserved for us. So what I have here in front of me is not just any book, but it's God's Word preserved for me and for you. Now, with that in mind, and you notice it says preserved from this generation forever. So, some publisher comes out with a Bible that they've just reinvented, or that they've polished on, or tinkered with, or any of those kinds of things. I get letters all the time, and people say, what do you think about, and they'll mention some new Bible that's just come out, you know, and my standard response is, I don't think much of it. You know, Southern Baptists came out with a new Bible. I mean, they've been promoting different Bibles ever since I was a kid, just one and another. But they came out with one they produced 3 or 4 years ago. It's called the Broadman Holman Bible, named after their own publishing company. They spent $10 million to produce that. According to their own publicity, $10 million, and they used scholars from 60 different denominations in the translation project. Now, does that tell you something? Can you imagine what they have and what they're reading out of when their preachers stand up to preach today? Well, you know, that's the kind of nonsense that, frankly, I want no part of. Now, I set this up with these two passages, these two smaller passages, to say to you, when I tell you that there are blessings that come from the Bible, I want you to know that we're not talking about something that's been tinkered with, something that's impure, or maybe just partially right. We're talking about the Word of God, who is always right. And here's the things that come to us if we read the Bible. Look at Psalm 119 now, and verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, wherewith all shall a young man cleanse his way? Now notice the question. Now here's somebody that gets their life kind of fouled up. They get things in a mess. Well, how are we going to straighten that out? How are we going to get people back on track? Somebody gets off into dope. Somebody gets off into drugs, into drink. And they get their life all messed up. They get DUI after DUI. They got all kinds of problems. How can they cleanse their way? How can they get themselves back on track? How can they get themselves straightened up and cleaned up from all this trash and garbage going on in their life? The answer is by taking heed thereto according to thy word. You say, I don't know what we can do for that fella. Just fill him full of the book. That's why that we still have the pulpit in place here. That's why Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and probably other times we have things here. And what do? We open the book and we tell people about it. We just keep on, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on with that. And it helps us. So in order for us to straighten up our life and clean up our life and get things on track where they ought to be, we dig into the book and we find out what's in the book. And it helps us to get our life on track. So there's a blessing that comes from the book. Notice verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I'm just having such a tough time, Pastor. Man, temptation is just, oh man, it's just terrible. The temptations that we have to face in life. I mean, today's world, I mean, nobody has ever seen the kind of temptations and stuff that we have. Well, any or all that might be true. I don't know. I mean, I didn't live 100 years ago, so I don't know how bad they had it. It probably is. In fact, the Bible says evil men wax worse and worse, perilous times, all that. So it probably is the worst times ever. But I got some help. I can manage it. Because the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So what is the antidote for sin? What is the thing that we take in that keeps us from engaging in sin? Well, we get into the Word of God. You know, you hear Brother Ross get up and preach Sunday after Sunday, and you read your Bible day by day by day, and you listen to me on the radio every day. You do, don't you? I mean, yeah, I thought you did. Great, great, great. And all of that, and you say, well, boy, what did Brother Ross preach a month ago? I can't remember what that sermon was. Well, yeah, I listened to the radio, but I don't remember what you said last week. No, but I tell you what, when you run into something out here somewhere, and all at once somebody sticks a bottle in front of you that's got bad stuff in it, or some other kind of a temptation comes to you, and all at once you may not be able to know, I mean, you may not be able to quote a verse that specifically deals with that, but if you've been taken in the Word of God and taken in the Word of God and taken in the Word of God, there will be some of it just having, I mean, it'll just kind of splash up close enough that you'll say, whoa! And you'll know. I mean, it's like, even though you can't quote the verse on the spur of the moment, and you may not have your Bible handy to open and read it, but there'll be enough of it down inside of you that it'll start waving all kinds of red flags, and you'll say, I think I better back away from that. And it's just for having fed on the Word of God. And it keeps you. I mean, right then, that day, that temptation, it enables you to back away so that you don't commit that sin that day. You say, well, that was Tuesday. That was Tuesday. There'll be something else on Wednesday. Yeah, I know. But I mean, every time, you just keep taking in the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in my heart. That's why it's good to read the Bible every day. It's good to memorize some of the Bible. Just get it in there. All right? Drop down now and look at, and we'll just hopscotch through this chapter. Look at verse 34. Verse 34 says, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Now, there are critics out there, that, in fact, the praise and worship crowd, they criticize us a lot. They say that because we don't do all the things they do, we don't go around town looking like ragamuffins and you know, undressed like Jay Bird. I mean, in fact, Jay Birds have more feathers than some of those folks have clothes. I just kind of stumbled into that. But anyway, but you know, they fuss at us and they call us legalists. Now, they're dumb about other stuff, too, when they do that. Because the fact that you keep God's law doesn't make you a legalist at all. In fact, I've been a preacher a long time. And I have never known, Brother Ross, I have never known, not even one time in our circles have I ever known a Baptist preacher who was a legalist. Not a one. Now, I know some that are straight as an arrow and so narrow. Fellow said they'd have to stand in the shade of a clothesline to, you know, to get shade. In fact, I've been accused of that. But not a one of the guys that I know or have ever known have been legalists. Because to be a legalist, you would have to say, well, you got to do the Ten Commandments or something like that in order to be saved. And nobody in our circles preaches that. And that's not, I mean, we're not legalists. To the contrary, we just have locked in to what God has said, His principles, His precepts, all those things. And here this passage says, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. So, when I understand what I'm supposed to understand, when I get understanding that is like understanding ought to be, I don't go chasing around all over town making excuse for all this worldly lifestyle that I've got. I don't go around saying, oh, I can do whatever I want to do. No, I go around saying, I heard from God, and what God says is what I'm going to do. Because the verse goes on to say, and I shall observe it with my whole heart. So it's not just a matter of me saying, well, the pastor said that I should dress a certain way, or that I should do certain things, or that I should cut out certain vocabulary, or that I shouldn't go to this place or that place. The pastor said that, so I will do it because the pastor said it. Hey, if you don't have anything more than that, please do it because he said it. But I hope that you're going to get a little deeper than that. I hope that you're going to get a hold of the concepts and the precepts that are in this book so that you will know when the pastor talks about that stuff, you will say, hey, he's right. And not only will you do it just for appearance sake, but it will be down deep inside of you. I can't tell you how exciting it was for Betty and me when our kids got to the 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 year age bracket, and they left home after high school to go to college. I can't tell you how exciting it was for us when we saw them out on their own, out of our sight. They began to make calls like we would have made them. They began to make their choices. And it was at that point that we said, hey, they got it. They caught it. They've got it down deep inside of them. They're not just doing it because of us. They wouldn't have to do it, but they're doing it because it's who they are. It's with the whole heart. So, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, and I shall observe it with my whole heart. Drop down now to verse 51. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. You know, you do right, and people are going to mock you. I mean, if not today, first thing in the morning. I mean, somebody's going to taunt you. They're going to tease you. They're going to say, y'all are not going to church all day long. I mean, you're not going morning and evening. I mean, you're not in one of those churches that teaches that you ought to tithe, are you? I mean, they'll do all kinds of things to taunt you. And the Bible says the proud have held me greatly in derision. They mock, they call your names, and they do so as if they're the great ones, and as if you are just the lowest of the low. But he said, even when I've been teased and taunted, I have not declined from thy law. Now, they will keep me from doing right. That's what he's saying. I'm going to keep on doing it. They say whatever they want to say, but I'm going to do what I should do. All right, let's see. The next one, look down at verse 63. I'm a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. I hear folks sometimes misquote this verse. I hear them quote it sometimes as if to say, well, you know, anybody that claims to be a Christian, man, I'm going to be their companion. It's not exactly what that verse says. That verse says, I am a companion of those that fear God. Now, if I fear God, that means I'm paying attention to His Word. I'm listening. I'm telling you, when I was a little boy, I thought he was about 10 feet tall. And whatever he said, I'm telling you, I mean, my mother and dad would testify to this day. I mean, whatever Daddy said, as far as I was concerned, it was the law. And you said, well, you loved your daddy. Yeah, but I was a little afraid of him, too. There was just a couple of times that I got off track when he brought me back on track in a very memorable way. I didn't have to have that kind of help offering. He did a good job, impressed me in the places where impressions should be made. Now, what this passage says is that we should fear God and we should keep His precepts. And that's the crowd I want to run with, the folks that are doing that. Notice, and hey, listen, there's a blessing that comes from that. I run with the right crowd, there's a whole lot less complications in my life. If I'm running around with a crowd that's always trying to take me to the edge somewhere, I'm going to wind up with one foot in a ditch. And so there's blessings that come. Notice verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Now, one of the reasons why we're not going to change Bibles every other week is because the Word of God's already been settled in heaven. I don't think we ought to be messing with it down here. We ought to just stay on track. Those of you that have small children, whenever they get to be teenagers and when they get to be young adults, the Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to be still giving them the same things that you got when you were a little boy or little girl here. You know, why? Because the Word of God hasn't changed. It's been settled in heaven from way back when. Alright, look at verse 97. Oh, how I love Thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Driving down the freeway, headed to work. You know, it's real easy. It's real easy to, turn on some of those jungle music stations. It's awfully easy. You know, or turn on some of that drinking and cruising music that comes out of Nashville. I done quit meddling. I quit preaching with the meddling now, didn't I? You know? Now, folks, hear me out here. The stuff you meditate on, it becomes a part of you. You muse on it, it becomes a part of you. So, what he says is that the law of God is my meditation all the day. You know, sometimes you're driving, just start trying to pull up out of your mind some of the verses that you've learned. Just get them up and start trying to say them out loud. You know, if somebody else in the car with you, say, pick up my Bible out of the console, and I'm stumbling over that one. Read it to me and tell me what it is. Tell me the word I missed. Last weekend, Ben and I were in East Tennessee. We drove about 240 miles from home over into East Tennessee and was there all day on Sunday. And a friend of ours from Maryland, Betty's good friend, came down, was there with us 3 or 4 days, and she went over with us to East Tennessee. Now, there was another little motive there. There's a place in Gatlinburg where Betty and Nancy like to shop. And frankly, I take Betty over there, or through there, once or twice a year, because, and I'm getting into stuff here, but I kind of like to go in and help her buy things, to tell you the truth. I just every once in a while I like to go in and say, hey, I like that, why don't you buy that, and I like you, that looks good on you, buy that. So I do a little bit of that. Guys, I'm getting you in trouble, but I'm just telling you. But anyway, we went to East Tennessee. I preached over there all day on Sunday, and we went by Gatlinburg on Saturday, and then we went up to Marstown, checked into our hotel, and preached for Brother David Sumner over there Sunday morning twice, and then Sunday night. And then after the Sunday night service, we headed home. Now, we're going to drive. We're getting an hour back like we'll do tonight, getting back into the central time zone. So we got it pegged. We're going to get home around midnight. Well, we got going. We drove maybe 30 minutes. We stopped, went through a Wendy's, got us a burger, and we're headed home. We hadn't been on the road hardly any time, and Nancy's sitting in the back seat, and she said, let's sing. And we started just, okay, what do you want to sing? Well, one of us suggested something. We sang through it. Well, then we got another one, and we got another one, and we got another one. I mean, we what was it, 2 hours of that probably? I mean, just on and on and on. I mean, I preached 3 times already, and I wasn't just belting it out, but we were singing, and we were all singing together, cruising down the highway, and just singing and singing and singing, just one great piece after another. Now, I'm going to tell you, the trip went by like that, and when we all got home, I mean, it was just like we had gone and sat down at a big buffet and eaten a big, you just felt like you had been refreshed all over again. Just from concentrating and meditating on those good things of God that the great songs give you. So he said, I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. We meditate on it, our reading, our music, etc. Look at verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. You know, you turn the radio on. Some of the political philosophers or the religious philosophers, or you turn the TV on, there they are again. Or if you happen to go to one of the universities where they are in total control, you say, which one of the universities is they in total control of? All of them that are on the tax payroll. All of them. Nationwide. North, south, east, and west. He said, well, I go there and I said, and that PhD professor, man, he was telling me this and tell me that and tell me something else. Yeah, I know. But the Bible says, basically, what you got in Sunday school makes you smarter than him. You got more understanding about what's real than he does. Now, look at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Last night, the hotel we stayed in down in Evansville, it's a nice facility, but it was built 30 years ago probably. The bathroom is just a little bit bigger than a closet. If you're much bigger than me, you're probably not even going to be able to get in it. The doors were little narrow doors, like so. And they had those big double thick deals on the windows, so when you pull them, I mean, it is totally pitch black. Now, yeah, it helps you sleep. But the fact is, I get up at 2:30 every night to take my allergy medicine. I set my alarm, wake up at 2:30 for about 2 minutes, take my allergy medicine. I'll take it again at 2:30 this afternoon. That works out good for preaching time all week long and gets my voice at its best. So I get up 2:30, take my allergy medicine. Sometimes at 2:30, I also try to find that other little room in the dark. Now, I would like to suggest that people who build hotels, that they build them all the same. But they don't. Good old free enterprise. They don't. And more than once, I have stumbled and skinned my shins or stumped my toe because, like a dummy, I was blundering around in the dark. In fact, Betty gave me a little flashlight that's just a little bit longer than your finger, about as big around as your finger. And very honestly, as flashlights go, it's about a 1% factor. It's not much of a flashlight. But in a motel room in the dark of the night, it is a jewel. Because it throws just enough light so that you don't stumble over some of the other stuff that's there. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can stumble around, play footsie with the evolutionists and the PhD at the university, and you can footsie with the Hollywood crowd and all that if you please. But I'm telling you, before you get very far in life, you're going to have skinned shins, broken arms, broken back. Your brain's going to be warped. I mean, a lot of stuff's going to be bad. Or you can turn the lamp on and take benefit of the light from the Word of God. And that's why he says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You get the picture. Amen? All right. Just a couple more here. Verse 111 says, Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I'm going to tell you something. I'm building on the heritage that was handed to me by the generations that have already gone to heaven. I mean, here in this country, I delight in building on the heritage of George Washington and John Adams and the patriots who gave their heart and soul and shed their blood. I'm building on that. And I'm not at all happy about some of these dissident elements that are trying to bring ruination to our nation now. I'm not at all happy about that. I said to Betty yesterday, I said, when was the last time we ever tried anybody for treason? That is in the Constitution. It is something that can be done, and I think we've got a bunch of people committing it. And I'm building on the faith that I inherited, the heritage of faith that I got from Dr. John Rice and some other great giants of yesteryear. I'm building on that. There's some of you that have come in here at Blessed Hope just the last year or two. There's a heritage of faith here. It's being led by this Brother Ross, but for years and years it was led by this Brother Ross. Long heritage, solid heritage of faith. And I'm telling you, back up, smell the coffee, smell the roses, take a look. Take a look. It pays. It's right. And he says, Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. They're the rejoicing of my heart. It's what makes me tick. We'll do one more. There's a bunch of these. We'll do one more and we're done. Look at 165. Let's see. Where is it? 165. It's right after 164, isn't it? There we go. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now you think of that. Those that love the law of God, they get a peace within them that keeps them from getting bent out of shape. I was telling somebody earlier this week, I heard a little story, you might have heard it. Lady took her little kindergartner to school for the first time. And she said to the teacher, Johnny is a very, very sensitive child. And she said, if Johnny misbehaves, she said, just slap the kid next to him and Johnny will shape right up. That's terrible, isn't it? But you know, the fact is, I don't know a thing about what goes on here at Blessed Hope, but I do know enough about the arena where we live. In Christian circles, we have a lot of folks who are so unduly and carnally sensitive that the least little thing causes them to do bad things. Bad for them. Bad for their family. Bad for their testimony. Because some little something went haywire, and because they're not sufficiently grounded, well, you know the rest of the story. This verse, I hope you'll underline it in the Bible and memorize it and get it on your soul. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, it doesn't mean, that's not saying that you're supposed to take all the garbage and trash, and there's other verses that help you to sort out problems. This just means that if something happens, it won't throw you. It won't cause you to do the unchristian thing or the unwise thing. I'm telling you, folks, there are blessings that come from knowing the book. Amen. Father, thank you for your goodness and for this good book that helps us every step, every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.